We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
go. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Man, that's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Thanks so much for dropping on by. College football adds to its schedule this weekend as the Big Ten opens up play. Joining us here on the show is two-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos, Big Ten standout, friend of the show, and Big Ten Network football analyst, Howard Griffith. Howard, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks, as always, for joining us. More college football is a good thing around here, so we're excited about this weekend. Let's start with the power rankings in this conference. Everybody knows that Ohio State is the number one team in the league. Who's the number two team in your mind?
Interesting question. You know, I would look to Penn State. Really, I think they're going to be right there. They've done a great job of recruiting. It looks like they're going to lose one of their elite backs that they have in Journey Brown to a health issue, but they're loaded at that position. And Coach Franklin's done an outstanding job. He's got a new offensive coordinator, and Coach Soraka, who was over at Minnesota last year, really did great things with Tanner Morgan. So I think it's Penn State, the next team to watch out for.
What do you think the effect is going to be this season where you're not playing non-conference games, you don't have breather weeks, it's just conference game, conference game, conference game in a condensed schedule? How does that affect what the league looks like?
You're going to have to cross your fingers and hope you're able to get through all of this. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't know. You know, we've gotten to this point. It looks like Big Ten's going to be able to play football this weekend. And, you know, we're going to see. We don't know what these teams are going to look like. It's interesting. You know, we talk about Ohio State, you know, being the favorite, and we know how talented they are. But we have no idea what they're going to look like, because normally I get a chance to see them in the spring, get a chance to see them a couple practices in the summer, and we didn't get that this year. So it's going to be interesting this first week just to see where teams are. And you look at a team like Michigan. Michigan playing Minnesota, that's going to be a big game there for both teams to kind of figure out where they are in the league. Minnesota, can they get back to where they were last year with a great season that they had? And then Michigan, you know, they're breaking in a new quarterback in Joe Milton, who I think can really be special in that offense. So I'm looking forward to that.
Things open up Illinois, Wisconsin on Friday night, and then on Saturday, Nebraska, Ohio State, Rutgers, Michigan State, Penn State, Indiana, Iowa, Purdue, Michigan, Minnesota, and Maryland, Northwestern. On that Michigan front, Jim Harbaugh does not have a contract extension. He comes into this season at the end of this deal. Now, nobody expects Michigan to ever fire him, but people are worried in Michigan that maybe they've hit their ceiling. Do you find this to be an awkward situation for Harbaugh and Michigan, or you just got to play with a different set of rules because Harbaugh is a different cat?
He's a different cat. He really is and understands who he is. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if Harbaugh just said, hey, let's wait till after the season as well. I think both sides probably just said, wait, no big deal. You know, we know what I brought to the program. I know what the expectations are. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is, having any issues about contract talks and why he doesn't have a contract at this point. I know he's as frustrated as anyone. And, you know, they're not able to make that jump to be able to beat the Ohio States of the world. So, you know, he understands this is a big boy football, and he's paid handsomely for coaching it, and he knows that there are expectations out there.
Howard Griffith joins us from the Big Ten Network. Which side needs each other more? Does Harbaugh need the Michigan job more than Michigan needs Jim Harbaugh? Or can Michigan find a better coach than Harbaugh after this contract expires?
You know, that's interesting because you think about, I'd say the value that he's brought, the notoriety that he's brought, the attention. I should say the attention that he's brought since he's taken over the program. I don't think you could have bought that type of advertising. Whether it was taking kids for the spring, you know, on their spring trip out of the country to practice and really experience what's going on in the world, whether it's his we're going in the submarine. So he brings a lot of attention to the program, but at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and it's about beating your rivals, right? It's about beating Ohio State. That is, for Michigan fans, the biggest game each and every year. And they haven't been able to do that, haven't been able to get over the hump. They've been close, but haven't done it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I don't, you know, it's interesting. Can you find a guy that would be better? I think that's the question. And I don't know. I'm sure you could if you wanted to. But I think they're happy with Harbaugh. He just has to win the big game for him.
Ohio State in this conference has 14 of the 25 star recruits in the league. The Big Ten has 25 star recruits. The Ohio State Buckeyes have 14 of the 20. What does Ohio State do so much better than everybody else in the league recruiting wise?
I think it comes down to this. It is the very notion that when most places recruit, it's about, you know, you get a chance to come to this program. It's about the program, the school, the tradition. At Ohio State, they embrace, what is it that you're trying to accomplish, young man? What do you want to do? Where do you see yourself in the next 4 years? And that subtle difference to being able to address the needs of that high school athlete that's coming in and showing them, hey, look, we've done it already. I don't care that we have, you know, three or four, five stars at one position. We can use more, and we're going to play them. And they know at Ohio State, if they're not the starter, they're going to play. So they're going to be developed if they're ready for, you know, their time when they become a starter. And I think the communication that they have with their players, the trust that they have with their players, Mickey Moradi, who's one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in all of college athletics, that whole combination of things really gives them a complete edge when you talk about developing and getting those five stars to come into the university.
Howard Griffith, Big Ten Network, joins us this morning on the show. Ohio State has a chance to open up against Nebraska. They're huge favorites, 26-point favorites to open up this season against the Cornhuskers. Do you believe that the Big Ten punished Nebraska for speaking out about not playing by scheduling Ohio State in week one?
No, I don't think so. If you look back since Nebraska's come into the conference, it seems like they've always had a tough schedule, particularly early. So I don't think that was the case, but it certainly adds to the conversation around the program, right? And the, you know, what they were ultimately able to do. But, you know, Ohio State spoke out as well, right? They talked about wanting to play. So they were right there on that front as well. So, you know, look, Nebraska football's got to try to find their groove as well. I mean, I think the conference as a whole would be even better if Nebraska football was where they need to be, and they're not there yet. And, you know, you got to figure out with Martinez, he's really, really talented player. But there were some comments the other day when he was talking about Luke McCaffrey, who's a really talented player too. Is his backup right now. So they're going to have some quarterback controversy, I believe, here at some point during the season.
So Ohio State and Ryan Day wanted to get creative in how to play, but Nebraska said we could leave the Big Ten and we'll play independent football, and that raised the ire of a lot of people. Did you think that Nebraska did a disservice to the league by acting as though they were willing to leave the Big Ten?
No, I think they did a disservice to themselves. I mean, the league knew they weren't going anywhere. Contractually, they couldn't do anything anyway. I mean, you could talk about it, but I think once you start to go through the paperwork and do some of the things and look at the amount of money that you're being paid, regardless of how you finish in this conference, it's the share revenue equally. Bowl revenue, TV revenue is equally shared. So to say you were going to go outside and play in a different conference or play independently, I don't think ever would have had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Howard Griffith joins us from the Big Ten Network. Minnesota is a ranked team. They're ranked number 21 going into this game against Michigan, which is a very interesting matchup at Minnesota coming up on Saturday night. What has PJ Fleck added to the Gophers program to take them to that next level to where they're perennially a ranked team and competing for good bowl games?
Confidence in what he has brought to the program. Confidence that they can go out and execute and they can play the best teams and come away with a win. I thought the win last year at home versus Penn State, you know, just kind of really showed you where this Minnesota team is. They continue to do a really good job recruiting. I mentioned Tanner Morgan, I think probably the second best quarterback right now in the Big Ten behind Justin Fields. But he can throw it, he can spin it. They got Bateman back. He, who had originally opted out, he's going to be back. Ottman Bell is going to be the number two receiver. He's talented. They have some guys there that can play some football. And, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator to Penn State, Coach Shiraka, but they've got to readdress that. But I think when you talk about the confidence level that they have in the program right now, I think it's one of those things. And PJ does a great job of it. I mean, people, whether you love him or hate him, because there's really no in-between with PJ, whether you love him or hate him, he does a tremendous job motivating young people and really, I think, taking advantage of what the community of Minnesota has to offer to sell the program. And that's not to say no one else in the past has sold the program that way, but I think he's tapped into it and has done a great job at it.
The Badgers open up on Friday night against Illinois, and the Badgers do what the Badgers do. They run the football. They've got a good running back. They got a husky offensive line that just pounds you, and they're going to try to do that yet again, and they've kind of dominated the Big Ten West in doing so. Do you think that, once again, that side of the conference is Wisconsin's to lose?
Well, they're going to – I wouldn't say it's theirs to lose. I think they're in a heavy battle with Minnesota. And I mentioned Minnesota because Minnesota has a proven quarterback. I think to be able to win the division, you have to have a quarterback that can win games for you. Now, the Badgers have a young guy, you know, Graham Mertz, who I think is going to be fantastic. But he's young, right? He's now stepping into that role since the starter was hurt. So now he's getting an opportunity to lead the program. But – you know, he's got all the talent upside of anyone. You look at the defense. Jim Leonard has done a tremendous job defensively with the program. Again, they're starting to elevate their recruiting as well. So the Badgers are in great shape, but I think it ultimately will probably come down to them in Minnesota if Minnesota can continue to play at the level that they've been playing last year.
So the Big Ten is back, and you and I had a lot of conversations over the summer. We were tracking this together, and we didn't know where it was going to go, and now we fast forward to mid to late October. We got Big Ten football in the docket. It's good to be alive, huh, Howard?
It is absolutely good. You know, we had our first production meeting for our Saturday show, so that was exciting yesterday. So, you know, just to get back into the flow of things, and you mentioned Illinois, Wisconsin on Friday to kick the season off for us. You know, I think the players obviously are happy. The fans are happy. Obviously not as happy as they would be if they could be at the games, but, you know, they're football, and I think everyone's made adjustments to this point. We're just hoping to get through the season, get through Friday and Saturday and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But it's going to be difficult. There are going to be some issues. There's no doubt there's going to be some issues because we've seen them in all the other conferences. What'll be tough is that there's really no wiggle room right now for the Big Ten to be able to make up games. So we'll just have to continue to watch the progress and hope these young people can stay safe and continue to play the sport they love.
Yep, it's a condensed schedule. Going to start games this weekend. Going to roll through the weekend of December the 12th. And if there's any postponements, who knows how that's going to end up going. But we wait and see, and it opens up this weekend. Watch the Big Ten Network with Howard Griffith and company for the latest on the coverage of the Big Ten opening weekend. Howard, it's always good to pick your brain, man. Thanks so much for finding time for us this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Take care and stay safe.
You too. Howard Griffith joining us, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos, a standout at Illinois in his college days, and now a member of the Big Ten Network. When we come back here on the show, could the NFC East be so bad that the NFL is thinking about changing how they host the playoffs? And, oh, Dickie V's ready for the World Series. We've got his Instagram video next. D.A., type of dandy, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Eagle fans, get up. It's third down.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. You can watch us at watchda.com. You can watch us on Twitch. Go to our CBS Sports Radio channel there and watch us live every single morning. You can chat alongside other viewers of the show in real time. Then also you can watch us as part of the best of every single day on YouTube. The best of clips, classic moments always available on YouTube. So find us there as well. This year, the NFC East is just dreadful. It's pathetic, it's humiliating, it's embarrassing. The Cowboys shouldn't be this bad. The Eagles shouldn't be this bad. Washington is this bad, and the Giants are this bad. We should not be 6 weeks into an NFL season and the leader of a division have two wins and leading the division by themselves. The Cowboys are 2-4 and are in first place by themselves in the NFC East. And frankly, I don't know how this is going to get better. The Cowboys' injuries are such a disaster, especially along the offensive line. The defense is so ungodly awful that they're a pick'em against Washington this weekend. Imagine what the line was preseason on this game. I would imagine Cowboys by 7, Cowboys by 8, something like that. It's a pick'em game. If you look around the NFL, it's not right. I mean, the Ravens are 5-1 and in second place in the AFC North. The Browns are 4-2 and are in third place in their own division. In the NFC West, 4-2 is good for tied for second between the Cardinals and the Rams. The Niners are 3-3 and in last place. 3-3 would be first place in the NFC East. It's embarrassing. And what's more embarrassing is that one of these teams is not only going to make the playoffs, but host a playoff game. And I hate this rule. I hate it. And I don't know what it would take to change this. The NFL owners are so staunch in rewarding a division winner, automatic playoff spot, and a home playoff game. They are so adamant about this that they get lost. They don't see the forest for the trees. I hate this. Why you deserve to be credited or rewarded for playing in an awful division is anybody's guess. I don't get it. Why, just because you get the break of playing in an awful division, do you get to make the playoffs at 7-9 when a team that was 10-6 sits home? I don't get it. Who's more deserving? The team that's 10-6 or 7-9? And yet, we put the 7-9 team in the division in the playoffs. And not only do we do that, we give them a home game. I don't understand this infatuation, this fetish that NFL owners have with winning the division automatically grandfathers you into a home playoff game. It's sickening. And this year, I hope the NFC East winner does it at 5-11. I hope. I hope there's a 5-11 NFL team that's in the playoffs. And I hope it's one of the NFC East teams. I don't care which one. And I hope that we all get to laugh at the idiocy of having a 5-11 or 6-10 team hosting an NFL playoff game. Because it's idiocy. It's the height of idiocy. If you want to make sure, look, this is what I would do. I would say, we all have our division winners. It's all fine and good. Unless you're 9-7, you don't go to the playoffs. You can win your division. You got to actually have a winning record. It's like the old College Bowl thing. You had to be 6-5. You couldn't be 6-6. You couldn't be 500. You had to be over 500 to make a bowl game. That's, of course, gone out the window because we have a bazillion bowl games. That's what I would do. Sure, division winners go automatically to the playoffs, but you got to be 9-7. That's the first thing I would do. If you're 500 or less, no, we go to the next best wild card. But if you are absolutely adamant and you are inflexible to where a division winner has to make the playoffs, okay, I'll even go that far and say every division winner makes the playoffs, including this year's god-awful NFC East team. But where it's played depends on your record. Because this year, if it's a 6-10 NFC East team, and they're hosting 10-6 Rams or 11-5 Bears, they don't deserve to host that game under no circumstances. Because what? They beat the Sisters of the Poor? This garbage division? I hate that rule. Where they play every playoff game is dependent on record and tiebreakers once we get to the divisional round. Except in the wild card round, nope, you won the division, so who cares about records? Who cares about tiebreakers? You get to host it. I hate that rule. This year, hopefully, it's so comical, the NFC East team is so bad, that we start reassessing whether that's really how we want to host these playoff games. One of the great things about the World Series is the Tampa Bay Rays being in it, and thus Mraz needing to wear a Rays jersey and hat on his Twitter avatar. He hates the Rays. On his avatar, which was photoshopped by the one and only Wizard of Watch DA Andrew Kaplan, there's also Dick Vitale in a Rays uniform next to Mraz in this photo. Dickie V taking to Instagram and giving his thoughts on the Fall Classic.
The Dodgers, the best team in the National League, now playing the best team in the American League. Isn't it ironic? Both of them were the best of the best during the regular season. And now they hook up for the World Championship. I went to my BBDI, man. Hasn't let me down yet. My BBDI. It's been on the money through all the playoffs. So I said, hey, Vitale Ball Dome Index, what about this World Series and the Dodgers? And it spit out this morning. It said, the Rays in seven. The Rays in seven. The Rays in seven. Oh, that will be awesome, baby. And I guarantee if it happens, I'm jumping right in that pool after it happens. I am jumping for a swim, and I can't swim. I will do it, though. Take care.
Okay, this is now sad.
Oh.
It's officially sad. Dickie V is 81 years old, and he's still playing the hits, and we don't need the hits anymore.
Oh.
He's 81 years old. You know what? Great run. Not a good run, a great run. I don't think at 81 we need Dickie V catching his breath about the VBDI. Ooh. Vitale Ball Dome Index.
Oh.
I mean, he's going with that? Who's writing his jokes these days? Who's writing his material? The Vitale Ball Dome Index?
Connor Green.
Connor would have way better material than this. Oh. VBDI? I'm going to jump in the pool and I can't even swim. You know, Dickie V, don't make us hope for that, okay?
Oh, no. Wow. No. No. Wow. That's unnecessary.
Look, also, I don't know if you guys caught this, but Dickie V says at the outset, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League. The Rays are the best team in the National League. Isn't it ironic they're going to be playing against one another? That's not irony. That is no. That is the Alanis Morissette definition of irony. That is not ironic.
The Dodgers, the best team in the National League, now playing the best team in the American League. Isn't it ironic?
No, no. That's not ironic at all.
It's actually what we should have expected. Can I also ask, why does the man own a pool if he can't swim by the time he's at 81? Why is the pool open? Why do you have a pool? You're 81. If you haven't learned to swim by now and you own a pool, why do you have a pool? It doesn't make any sense.
It's a fair question. It's really hot in Tampa, St. Pete. I could understand wanting to cool off. But if anything, I guess you would just have that really shallow pool where you just can, like, lounge in it, like you put a chair in it and it's only up to like your ankles or your waist. I mean, if you can't swim, you're right. Why is there a pool where you can actually swim in it at your house?
Well, there are other Vitals, right? I mean, he's got to have grandkids or something, so other people swim in his pool.
But would you have a pool that you couldn't swim in? Wouldn't you have a pool that you could swim in?
I mean, my guess is he walks into the pool and, like, stands at the edge where he's on his feet.
So he's just,
I guess he's
only shallow end?
Deep end? Yeah, that would be my guess, that he goes in where he doesn't need to swim, but he would jump into the deep end where he'd have to swim, and therefore he'd have DA cheering for his drowning.
No, here's I didn't a thought. Say that.
Learn how to swim. It's not like he's got to go to the YMCA, Bogus. The man lives in Florida. It's sweltering hot with that humidity. He's got a pool in his backyard. Get in there and paddle, Dickie.
That train has left the station. He's 81 years old. He's not picking that up now, Moraes.
Well, where was it 30 years ago, even when he was 50? How do you not learn how to swim at any point? He's in Florida.
Why did he not ask the Vital Ball Dome Index how important it would be to swim if you live in Florida?
That I can't trust bit this guy at Duke, North Carolina. He can't doggy paddle.
This bit has been, it's been rough for years, and it's even rougher now. It's rough when broadcasters get this old. It's rough because they lose it off the fastball. You know, when you're a broadcaster, your mind has to work quickly, and you have to be decent with words, and you have to be charismatic, and all of those things are just harder when you're older. So old broadcasters are tough, but at least Musburger still got a command of the language. I mean, Dickie V's just doing Dickie V from 30 years ago, but it's a slower, worse, less funny version of it.
The Rays in seven. The Rays in seven. The Rays in seven.
It does kind of feel like somebody has to show up to his house every night, find the remote with the big button, show him what channel the Rays are on, sit him down, get him his pudding, make sure dad's okay. Okay, you're gonna he wants to talk if they win. You want to film him.
Couldn't you just do a lesser Dickie V version if you're Dickie V? Do you need to do the full 100-mile-an-hour Dickie V version?
I don't think he knows how to do a lesser Dickie V. Dickie V is Dickie V.
By the way,
I think this is really who he is, too.
But Dickie V was an NBA head coach. He wasn't always a cartoon.
You weren't in those locker room meetings, D.A. My assumption is Dickie V always had a little energy.
Could you imagine going into an NBA locker room? All right, baby, we need the diaper dandies to stand up right now. Look at this. It's the Vital Ball Dome Index. Power forward, you're going in there. You're going to score 32 points in the second half. Oh! That's not how he was. He was actually a credible coach. But then he turned into a personality that was selling Hooters and Papa John's and ESPN Big Mondays. And then suddenly became this where you can't. He's just doing a video about the World Series. Well, and it's like four bad jokes.
But are we playing a Dickie V World Series video if he's not doing Dickie V? You know what I mean? So maybe he just needs that Dickie V.
That we need the Dickie V?
Well, I don't think anybody cares if Dickie V puts up a video when he's going back to coach Dickie V going, hey, really happy with the Rays here. They've gone out and hustled. This is an interesting series with the Dodgers. No, you need Dickie V being Dickie V for the video to ever be interesting.
Do we need him to threaten to drown? Is that part of the Dickie V bit?
No, but I would talk to his writers. I would talk to his writers and say, you guys need to fix something here. You know, and by the way, the Rays got to be paying him for this, right? They got to be paying him for the post-game
video. I think
video.
They're probably only paying him with swag. He's got that Rays jersey. They probably send him all types of Dickie V swag. I mean, you
I
say
guess that's true. They can
you say we
players.
Need Dickie V. Do we need Dick V? Do we need Dick V? Do you need Dick V? Does he need Dick V?
I'm jumping right in that pool after it happens. I am jumping for a swim, and I can't swim.
When you put it that way, probably not. But I think the Rays need Dick V. I think that's exactly what's
going on. Do they? They've been just fine without him. He hasn't been in the stands this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's true they had a cardboard cutout of him. I mean, but we clearly... what did we do the last 10 minutes without Dick V? I don't know. I think the world needs a little Dick V.
Bogues, do we need Dick V at this point?
No, and that's the sad part of this. Like, just tell the man it's okay to be old and, like, quiet and sit in his lanai
and okay
watch the game.
It's okay to be quiet. Yeah, that's the thing. It's okay to be quiet.
We're good without Dickie V now. We're there. We're done. We know what he would say.
Shit.
We can think of it in our head. It's okay. He can just relax. He's, what do you say, 81 years old?
Yeah.
Just take it easy, dude. You don't need to do this for us anymore. We're okay.
Especially, it's not college basketball. We're not even asking you to do the college basketball bit. You don't need to do Dickie V about the World Series.
Guys, we see it all the time. The moment people stop doing that, they're dead. Dickie V needs to be Dickie V to keep that blood pumping. The moment he stops being Dickie V, we're talking about a six-month timeline here. No, he's got to keep doing it.
Okay, so you're saying that Dickie V needs to be Dickie V for Dickie V, not because we need Dickie V.
Right. I think the more you think about DA, I mean, I'm sorry. We know this happens. People talk about it all the time. They retire 6 months later, dead. They need something to live for. And Dickie V being Dickie V, I mean, that's the blood's pumping. You don't need Dickie V basically drooling on himself in the corner of the room telling him to be quiet.
So this is self-preservation for Dickie V.
Yes. Who needs to face their mortality like that? You basically are asking his family to wheel him off into the corner, throw on the Rays game, and just be quiet. The man wants to live. Let him live.
Okay, but I'm going to say this. You are a total sucker for the old school, nostalgic, something from your childhood, so much so that you like Chris Berman with basically a blonde toupee saying whoop for 2 minutes once a week.
And look at him go. I love it. I live for Monday night. I can't go to bed until I see Chris Berman.
And even you, after we played that clip, groaned and was speechless.
It was uncomfortable because the jokes were really bad, but I also am with him that he should be doing it. Look, that's my boy. We see him on my Twitter. That's my boy. He wants to be there. He wants to go nuts. I mean, I'm sure at 84 years old, if I'm lucky to see that way and I'm still making fat jokes, people are going to grumble and go, we're still doing this bit with Mraz here. We get it. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they're probably already saying that. We're still doing the fat jokes, guys.
Of course. But, you know, the moment you wheel me off into the corner and tell me to be quiet, that's it. You might as well dig my grave. That's it. Dickie V needs to live. Let him live. Stop it. We just want to rush old people into the grave and end their careers. Day Chris Berman passes away, we better weekend at Bernie's him up at Monday Night Football at halftime. You better do it. Get him up there with some string, some sunglasses. He's got to whoop his way through that. We don't care how dead he is. I'm sorry. These guys need to live.
Whoop.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Rumbling. The Raiders.
Bad.
Right now, bad. If you're watching at watchda.com, I'm basically playing a puppet and somebody's moving my mouth.
Frozen Tundra.
I am so uncomfortable with what's going on right now.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
This is some day for your impersonations, DA. I mean, you've been locked in on three different people. Dead Chris Berman, Dickie V, and Morty the Lemur.
Never a discouraging word.
Frank Caliendo's toast after today's show.
Berman starts breaking out all the references from the 90s. Sorry, Barry Word's not playing in this game, Berman.
Stewart!
Barry Bananas Foster.
That's James Conner. Boomer, that's James Conner.
To well-dressed Amani Tumor.
Yeah. Sorry. Darius Slayton Boomer.
Oh.
So bad.
Let Dickie be live. So
bad. Let Dickie be live. No one's trying to put him into the ground. I'm just saying. I mean, geez, these videos are painful.
Isn't it ironic?
Hey, isn't it ironic? It's rain on your wedding day. Oh, it's the Rays and Dodgers in the World Series. Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic?
Dickie Morissette. All right, AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We got the Dodgers getting the full Clayton Kershaw experience and the full Mookie Betts experience in Game 1 of the World Series last night. Their Hall of Fame lefty stifled the Rays for six innings in Arlington while Betts was in the middle of an eight-run outing. Kershaw loves his right field.
Yeah, Mookie's pretty special. I mean, he just, you know, he does things on baseball field that not many people can do, and he does it very consistently, which I think separates him from a lot of guys.
Betts had two hits, including a homer, and he walked. He stole second, then third, then scored on a grounder to first to fuel a four-run fifth inning, all while Kershaw kept the Rays to one run, just three base runners while striking out 8-6. So the Dodgers draw first blood 8-3. They'll start Tony Gonsolin tonight against the Rays and their southpaw Blake Snell. First pitch comes shortly after 8 Eastern. Commissioner Rob Manfred said pregame, owners want to keep expanded playoffs, but maybe 12 or 14 teams instead of the 16 this season. They also like putting a runner on second to start extra innings. The union would have to sign off on either one of those things living past this season. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores confirmed last hour that Tua Tagovailoa is their starting QB moving forward. Flores said Tua has gotten better and more comfortable in practice, telling them he'll be fine in actual games. Flores says he's also going to apologize to his team for the news getting out before he had a chance to talk to them directly.
Isn't it ironic?
It is almost time for that impressive NFC East to be on full display on Thursday Night Football. The Giants and Eagles, a combined 2-9-1 as they meet in Philly tomorrow night. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson expected to try and play through his nagging ankle injury. Giants wideout Sterling Shepard officially designated to return from IR. That's his next step for playing tomorrow.
What are you laughing at?
The weekend at Bernie's Bourbon was the best and worst bit we've ever done, ever. Like, his family would crush us for this, and you're holding your mouth up your arms. I'm going to be picturing that the rest of the day.
What, weekend at Bourbon's?
Weekend at Bourbon's, propped up with the sunglasses on the set. Past this 3 minutes. Carry Chris in. Here we go.
Here goes the Bucks at the new sombrero.
It's terrible, but it's so funny.
No longer the Bay of Pigs.
Oh, man.
Oh, is that your first job?
Chris Berman needs to make it through the day too. Or
oh my god! Oh man! Oh, if 2020
the tapes.
If 2020 takes Berman, we're toast.
We're
total toast.
The state militia history.
Remember the time we killed Chris Berman? Yeah. When we come back on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember the day before John Kincaid took over the morning show on CBS Sports Radio?
Right, Dickie V, you want ironic Jody Mack hosting tomorrow morning because of our Berman show.
Yeah, Dickie, you want ironic? The DA show jokes about your death and then it happens.
Isn't
that's
it
ironic.
Ironic?
Oh, terrible.
Really bad.
I'm okay. Not going to read soccer news, so whenever you want this, take it back.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we've got your poll question of the day and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
And
analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, so our This Day to Mothership History segment was Mraz 4 years ago claiming that he was preparing to go to the gym on an NFL Sunday, which of course never happened. So we asked you guys today, have you ever gone to the gym during an NFL Sunday? 67% said no, which is a shocker that 33% of you, a third of you, have gone to the gym on an NFL Sunday. A new survey of 2,000 Americans found that going to the gym is becoming more and more obsolete due to the pandemic. 3 in 4 says it's easier than ever to maintain their fitness routines in the comfort of their own homes, which really blows up Mraz's theory about why he's put on so much weight during quarantine. 75% of Americans say, you know what? I could actually say healthier than ever at home these days. Americans exercise an average 25% more during quarantine than before. Again, a shocker. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And I'm sorry, but on Thanksgiving, the peanuts and holidays, peanuts, they just get me depressed. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski, loves peanuts. I mean, loves them. Has t-shirts and ball caps and backpacks and golf sweaters and all types of things about the peanuts, and I just don't get it.
What, we're going to go Goo Goo Gaga?
They are the most depressing cartoon I've ever watched. I grew up with Looney Tunes where people, you know, they just tried to blow each other up. I mean, I grew up with, you know, Bugs Bunny trying to kill Elmer Fudd, who's trying to kill Bugs Bunny, who's trying to kill Daffy Duck, and Wile E. Coyote getting blown up and pushed over edges. And then I turn on Peanuts Around the Holidays, and it's this dreary music.
What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck?
And no trees have any leaves on them, and Snoopy is dragging his ass up around the yard. And Linus stinks, and the kid Pigpen has all the flies around. And I'm like, this is the most depressing thing ever. I can't understand the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, Charlie Brown, we're going to pull the football away from him. Everybody hates Charlie Brown. I'm like, this is supposed to be a kid's TV show? This is a cartoon?
Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
Give me Elmer Fudd getting a gun blown up in his face. Give me a break. And so, frankly, to make my Thanksgiving less depressing when it comes to Texans and Lions and Washington, Dallas, it's good that there's no peanuts around my house. I'm glad I don't have Apple TV, so I don't have to be subjected to the depression that is the peanuts.
You were kind of rough on Charlie Brown, weren't you, sir?
Rough? Look at this.
On Thanksgiving around the holidays.
It's accurate, right? The color is so dreary. The storyline never makes any sense. All right, so we found a win for you on Thanksgiving. It's no more peanuts on network TV.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Our Ask the Pros question brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Brian tweets, the weekend at Berman's bit had me dying in my cubicle. Hashtag keep the man alive. Nicholas tweets, the dead Berman Dickie B, the Dickie V bit made me spit my drink out of my windshield and I had to pull over. Hashtag whoop. Mariana. Bogish deserves an award for getting through the update with Mraz and DA giggling through the whole thing. Fightin' Amish tweets, you bus drive is running over Dickie V over and over as me and Stitches this morning. Good stuff, kids. We're not trying to run over Dickie V, just pointing out that it's getting a little tired here. But look, we want Dickie V around for a long time. We want Chris Berman around for a long time. Mraz specifically really enjoys their bits, their comedy, their shtick. Are you subscribing to Apple or ESPN Plus for the new primetime?
Yes, well, actually, I just took my sister's login, but yes, I am.
Okay, I'm so aware. You're still watching it.
Yes, of course.
When we come back tomorrow morning, we'll have game 2 of the World Series to talk about, and Evan Washburn of the NFL on CBS is going to join us as well. He's got the big one, Steelers and Titans. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, who has a very damning gif going on right now on Twitter. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.